It's time for our Bible reading. In your church Bibles, please turn to page 1063. We will read from John 1, verse 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he only came to witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not out of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born out of God. The world became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we all have received grace, in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Now we ask Mike to come and explain that to us, please.
Sorry, I'm on this one, Caris. Yeah, thank you. Morning! Morning! We're carrying on in John's Gospel, and we started that a couple of weeks ago. Let's pray, shall we, and ask for God's help. Father God, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for giving us your Son. And we pray, Father, as we look at him this morning, as we gaze at him, warm our hearts, help us to not just gaze at him now, but at various points during the week. So as you empower us to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I was listening to a podcast this week. Anyone else listen to podcasts? Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. I was listening to a podcast this week, and there was some guy on there saying he would believe in God if God had put a scientific formula in the Bible. If he'd put like something like E equals MC squared. And the idea went something like this. If God made if God had made the universe and everything, he would totally understand science. And he does. He's right in that. And therefore, he could have given to Moses or to Jesus or somebody else, and they could have said, right, include E equals MC squared in the Bible. Now, it wouldn't have meant much to Moses, or the early readers of the Bible, but it would mean a lot to us, because we would know, therefore, God had written it all. Now, over the years, I have heard lots of suggestions on how God could prove that he exists and he is real. But that was the first one on me. I don't know about you. I don't know, you might have heard voices from, people might say, voice from heaven. Or a couple of irrefutable miracles, please. Oh, God, if you could stop all suffering just like that, I'd believe. Well, what's interesting with all these different proof demands is this. It is that people are making the demands. God, prove yourself to me this way, or prove yourself that way. My agenda, me setting the levels. But God, in his infinite wisdom, has his own way of making himself known. Please look with me at chapter 1 and verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. God makes himself known to everyone in the light. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about verse 18? No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who himself is God, who is himself God, and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Jesus has made God known. We don't need E equals MC squared in the Bible or any of those other things to be made aware of God's existence. We need a person. An utterly unique and brilliant person. But he is a person. And what does God want us to do as we look at this person? Look with me, please, at verse 7. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. John the Baptist, he came pointing us towards Jesus so that we could gaze at Jesus and believe. What is God wanting to tell us this morning from John's Gospel? Well, it's really very simple. Jesus makes God known. Believe it. Simple. But we human beings, we've got a pretty good track record of even messing up simple, don't we? Never mind complicated. So let's get into God's word and gaze at Jesus again. And our first point this morning, Jesus is God. Now, we looked at verses 1 to 5 a couple of weeks ago, but a quick reminder, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, John, the apostle who wrote the gospel, he hung out with Jesus for 3 years and was convinced by the end of that time that to the very core of his being that Jesus was and is God. As I said, the utter godness of Jesus. And it's a huge claim. It's massive. And it's so big and so important that John kicks off his whole gospel with this. He doesn't go to the birth of Jesus or anything like that. He kicks off, listen, Jesus is God. Get this into your heads. Now we can go further. Because the whole of John's gospel only makes sense if Jesus is God. We can go further still, actually. The world, our lives, only make sense if Jesus is God. This one fact is fundamental to who we are, to everything. And yet, we so easily fall, don't we, into that habit of treating Jesus as a nice additional extra in our lives. Treating God, treating Jesus like that? It's not right. And yes, as we consider the fact that Jesus is God, it's good to have questions. It's good to have things thinking through your brain and time to chew things over and to ask those questions. God created us to be thinking creatures. To think as we read the rest of John's Gospel and we see for ourselves that Jesus doesn't just say he's God, but shows it as well. He stands up to this huge claim. But the response that God fundamentally calls to us is, it's all right to think, it's all right to ponder, but the fundamental response is verse 7. Believe. Trust him. It's not blind faith or anything like that, but when push comes to shove, we need to trust the Lord of the universe to believe. And not just believe that Jesus is God, but our second point today, Jesus is making God known. In verses 6 to 8, we get told about John the Baptist, who God uses to prepare the way for Jesus' arrival. Verse 7, it talks about John the Baptist testifying, being a witness. It's the language of the courtroom. And that's a solemn and weighty business. Where in a courtroom, the freedom or possible imprisonment of the accused hangs in the balance, based on testimony. Well, this is even more weighty, even more serious. John is testifying about Jesus. And verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Like each morning, the sun rises and casts its light and warmth on us. There's not much warmth today, but we've got the light, haven't we? But it happens every day, the sun rises. and casts its warmth and light on all of us. And it is Jesus, the light, that it makes it possible for everyone who lives to be truly alive. And that light that Jesus brings has many traits. The light of Jesus, you know, it tells us the difference between good and evil. It tells us about the beauty and cost of compassion, our fundamental need to worship, and so much more. Jesus' light lights up so many parts of our lives. But at the very core, this light has to be in the context of verses 1 to 18. The fact that Jesus shows us who God is. If you want to know if God is real or not, look at the light that is Jesus. And not because Pastor Mike is saying it. I was ordained in St. Paul's Cathedral 20 odd years ago. And I've been a pastor for ages. But none of that stuff's important. We know that Jesus makes God known because God is telling us. And Jesus is no fraud either. Look, please, me, at verse, how does verse 9 start? It says, the true light. That's the genuine light. And history, it's littered, isn't it, with captivating individuals who have made unique claims about themselves and about God. Well, God points via John the Baptist and many other witnesses in the early church and this church down the ages since to the real deal, that is Jesus. And therefore, before we move on, it's worth pausing and just asking ourselves, where am I tempted to look for God outside of Christ? Where am I tempted to look for God outside of Christ? You might be on the top of a glorious mountain, you've got a beautiful view in front of you, and you say, wow, God, you made this. Or it might be in a particular blessing that you're longing for so much. It might be in the quietness of prayer. It might be at church. Now, God can use all those things to touch us, to make himself known to us, but none of those are fail-safe routes to finding and knowing God. Only Jesus is. Now, all those other places should be pointing us to Christ, but it is always only Jesus. But this reality of Jesus making God known also reveals a choice. And our next point today, Jesus is rejected by some people. Please look with me at verse 10. He was in the world and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. When it talks about the world in John's gospel, it's not talking about the planet, it's talking about people. The people in the world, and particularly not just all people, and that's including fallen and sinful people. So even though every man and woman on this planet owes their very existence to Jesus, the world was made through him, many do not recognize him. Now, we're so used to people not recognizing who Jesus is. Got many of our friends and family and neighbors and work colleagues who don't recognize who Jesus is, and it just feels normal to us, doesn't it? There might even be some like that here today, and if that's you, that don't recognize Jesus as God, and if that's you, by the way, you're most welcome. Please do think about these things. Please do ask questions. And in the coming weeks, too, as we witness through John's gospel, Jesus demonstrating his divinity, I pray that God will convince you and help you to believe that Jesus is showing us God. But generally speaking, we're not used to people recognizing Jesus. We think that's normal. But I think verses 9 and 10 have a different vibe. The light gives light to everyone. Jesus has come into the world. The best explanation for why the world exists is because God made it. Everyone should recognize Jesus. And yet some don't. It's as if the sun comes up every day and spreads its warmth and light, but some people have chosen to live underground. They never see the light and the warmth. But it doesn't mean it's not there. Some people don't want Jesus to be real, for God to be real, and are tempted to hide away from reality. From the reality that Jesus makes God known. And we'll see in John's gospel over the coming weeks and months, Jesus can do all sort of God stuff. People were amazed at Jesus time and time again. But some of the people who saw Jesus do all this amazing stuff, heard his teaching, saw his compassion and love. They even accepted the miracles were genuine. But you know what? They refused to bow the knee. They refused to go, I can see God in Jesus. And even more shockingly, the people who God had been revealing himself for centuries before Jesus turned up, rejected him as well. The Jews, please look with me at verse 11. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The Jews had been reading the Old Testament scriptures, their scriptures, our Old Testament, for years. And they should have been expecting God's king to turn up, for God himself to turn up. And many in some ways were, but they weren't reading their Bibles carefully enough. They should have been ready for a powerful yet humble king to come. For a king who judges, but also shows mercy. For a king who serves his people, not out of duty, but out of love. But that wasn't the king that most of the Jews were hoping for. And therefore, when Jesus rocked up, he was a major disappointment to them. And instead of getting to know Jesus, instead of looking that little bit more carefully to see God in Jesus, what did they do instead? They hounded him to the cross. Many Jews 2,000 years ago did not receive Jesus. Many non-Jews didn't receive Jesus either. It happened then. It's going to happen today. But that choice, that division, if you like, goes the other way too, because our fourth point this morning, Jesus is received by some people. Please look with me at verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Some people rejected Jesus, others received. Believed in his name. Now, we think of names today often as labels, don't we? I happen to be called Mike by my parents. Sorry, my dad's probably on Zoom. Michael, got to get it right, eh? But I could have been called Fred or George or something else. But in Bible times, someone's name was so much more than a label. It represented who the person was. People who believed in Jesus' name believed in the person, in Jesus himself. And that belief is active as well because they received Jesus. For some of them, that might have meant inviting Jesus round to their home and feeding him one night, and perhaps the apostles as well. Or it might have meant hanging out with Jesus, even when Jesus was hanging out with the outcasts and the unpopular people in society. Or it might have meant receiving Jesus' teaching that he is God, even though he just walked and talked like a normal person. It's just like, I can't get my head around it. But they received him. Now, belief in Jesus cannot be purely abstract. It can't just be a thought in our heads that Jesus is God. Though that is true, and it's good to have that thought. But it's so much more personal. You receive and welcome Jesus into your life like a good friend who perhaps comes to see you when you've moved into a new home. You don't just bring them in and show them the lounge, do you? They want to see the whole house, including the bit under the stairs. It's just like, who wants to look under the cupboard under the stairs? They get the full tour. Well, when we receive Jesus into our life, we welcome him us into the whole of our lives, and we give him a front door key and an all-entry pass into every single room. We believe and we receive. And as we do so, something amazing happens. Verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The right to become a child of God. To not just be part of God's group of acquaintances. Or even a friend, and we are friends with God. But it's so much more. He's our Father. We are his children. We belong together with God. We're accepted and welcomed into the very heart of the family. And this belonging is a right. Now, we hear lots about rights today, don't we? Human rights, and somebody's right in this situation or that right. And some of these rights that people talk about are better grounds than others. But when we receive Jesus, we have the absolute right to be God's child. And that's a strong word, isn't it? Right. It implies absolute certainty. God doesn't look at Mike Walton and think, he's not got any hair, I don't want bald people in my church, in my family. Doesn't look good. Or more seriously, he doesn't look at Mike Walton and think, crikey, that guy, he sins every day, every hour. But because of Jesus coming to earth and his death and resurrection and him being in my life, in your life, God always says yes. You're my child. And not through gritted teeth. It's not like, he's my child, I have to accept it. But it's with joy. Welcome, precious son. Welcome, beloved daughter. And for some of us here today, you might not know, you might know that you've never received Jesus. And this is God's invitation for that to change. But it's even more than that. Verse 13. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Now, most children are born because their parents want them. Now, sometimes so-called accidents happen, but when a man and a woman get intimate, making babies is always a possibility. It's a human decision. And when somebody receives Jesus, yes, it's clear, we do the receiving, we do the believing. But it's also God's decision, God's will as well. We're born of God. When somebody receives Jesus in their life, God is wonderfully at work. Now, sometimes Christians can wonder if God is at work in their lives, and we especially if you're going through a dry spell spiritually. Perhaps God feels far away. Prayer and reading your Bible is stale, and church just seems like the same old, same old. And you think, is God at work in my life? Well, if you have received and believed in Jesus, and are still doing so today, the answer's clear. God's will. God's decision. Born of God. Hallelujah, God is at work in our lives. And as I look at Jesus, and as you look at Jesus, you see the very face of God. Jesus makes God known. Believe it. It's simple. Now, for some of us, we've heard it hundreds of times, perhaps even thousands of times. But you know what? We need to hear it again and again. Because we humans, we have that tendency to overcomplicate matters. We have a tendency to trust in ourselves more than we trust in Jesus, more than we trust in God himself. Let's keep our eyes and hearts fixed on Christ. There is no better place to be. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for giving us Jesus. He's so precious to us in so, so many ways. But as we've just looked at what you've been telling us this morning, he is precious because we can know you. We can know him, we can know you, God the Father, because of Christ. We can have assurance and certainty in our hearts that even though we don't see Jesus with our eyes today, that we can't see you, our Heavenly Father, today, you are there, you are real, you are working. We thank you for such joy, thank you for such assurance. And Father, we pray as we live for you this coming week, keep our eyes fixed on Christ. And as that happens, we keep them fixed on you. And may we know the joy of serving you in that reality. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.